You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, we wanted to let you know about a free resource that we're offering, an e-booklet by Todd Adkins called Developing Your Leadership Pipeline. This booklet will help you and your church leadership team begin to formulate a leadership pipeline from concept to structure to training in your own church. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, and you can download it there. Now, here's the podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here as usual with Todd Adkins.
What?
Back again with us is Kevin Spratt. Back at it again. Kevin.
That joke just old. I'm sorry.
It's the third time
I've done it. I won't do it anymore. I'm good. Thanks.
All right.
He's
so
not wearing fresh Vans, though.
That's right. He's not wearing white Vans. Back at it again. Go Google that if you don't know what we're talking about. And then you'll have an earwig for days.
Actually, don't go Google that. We never watched that. I don't know what you're talking about. Continue.
Yeah, I don't know how to segue from that. So instead, I'll just promo stuff we have coming up. If you go to lifeway.com/leadership and click on events, we have a webinar coming up in the third week of July. It is the third in our series of pipeline webinars. You should go register for that. It's focused on the role of ministry directors. Brian Doddridge is our guest presenter. Todd and I will be co-hosting that. We've done a couple of these, had several hundred people view each of them. We'd love if you joined us for that. It's totally free, lasts about an hour, and we just walk through what that role is, answer your questions, which you can tweet at us during the webinar, and then those are available online. You can actually view the past couple through that same place. So lifeway.com/leadership, and then click on events. Also there, you can get to our pipeline conference, which we've been talking about frequently. Remember that the early bird deadline is coming up in just a little bit over a month from when we release this. So you will want to move quickly to get you and your staff signed up at the best prices for an awesome event here in Nashville in October. Check that out. The direct link for that is myleadershippipeline.com. So promo over. Now I can segue into our topic because I don't feel guilty anymore.
Okay.
And today we're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines and leadership. And please don't turn this off because this sounds boring or because we're going to make you feel guilty. We will all admit our own guilt as we go through
this.
I promise. Our own failures.
Very guilty.
We will be in this together in our own need for growth and the areas where we fall short. But our first question, because spiritual disciplines is something that is a phrase that's out there, but I think a lot of people probably haven't invested much time or thought in that phrase. And so I guess the first question is just, what are the spiritual disciplines? What are spiritual disciplines?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different lists of spiritual disciplines that you would have. You've got Donald Whitney, who actually updated his book, Spiritual Disciplines, mm-hmm. which is really good.
That's a good one.
You've got Foster. Is it Richard Foster?
You're answering our fifth question right now.
Sorry.
That's all right. We'll come back around to it. It's good to listen. So, yeah, Richard Foster
I will be responsible for coming up with a new question.
Okay.
And I will save it. I already have it in my head.
All right. So, he did what? Celebration of Discipline? Is that right, Foster?
Yes. And there was one more that I was thinking about. I kind of rotate those. Foster, I don't completely line up with theologically. But his writing always challenges me, so I like him.
And in a broader category, if you think about the spiritual disciplines, it's going to be prayer life, scripture reading. What else would fall under that in terms of
memory?
Scripture memory,
fasting.
Okay, fasting
depends on your list,
right? These are all things
that we could all agree to. I mean, we're definitely going to be scripture reading, prayer. Worship attendance for sure.
Yeah, so gathering together for corporate worship, that would be something.
Small group accountability.
If we want to throw a theological word on that, I guess that'd be fellowship.
That's more Baptist-y than
churchy.
Churchy.
I went to a Presbyterian church for a while, and they also use the word fellowship. So,
yeah, I mean, I think all those things that everybody just naturally thinks and has guilt you know, it feels guilty for not doing for forever long.
Any Christian thing you feel guilty for not doing
is a spiritual discipline.
It's probably a spiritual discipline.
Giving, generosity, tithing, hospitality, I think, in some capacity, in some lists.
Evangelism is for sure there. I can't believe we didn't already say that one.
Stewardship.
Our listeners are just sinking lower and lower in their seats as we list off things that they're bad at.
That I don't want to mention because they're the some of the worst for me is silence and solitude. I'm not good at silence and solitude or journaling. Some people consider journaling a spiritual discipline. I don't really know.
Journaling I would put under prayer because it's that kind of journaling is more an expression of prayer than it is.
It's like a prayer audit.
Yeah, it's just it's a you know, you can pray out loud, you can pray silently, or you can pray on paper. All right, so
I think we rattled off.
Yeah, so those that it's that bucket of things. It is the habits and disciplines a Christian should have for a faithful and vibrant walk with Christ, I think. And that's so
very eloquent.
That's I didn't even have that written down. Oh, you can compliment me later. So the second question is this, and that is, are spiritual disciplines old fashioned? Because that phrase sounds old-fashioned. Some of the things we just listed are things that people probably have this gut reaction to where they kind of roll their eyes and they're like, really? Like, that's a big deal? And maybe used to be a big deal. So are spiritual disciplines old-fashioned?
First word that comes to my mind is boring. Like, you start talking spiritual disciplines, you start thinking, that's boring. It's a boring topic. It's something I don't want to talk about. It's something I feel guilty for, but I don't think it's...
For me, I'm like, it's so foundational. I mean, when anybody is a new believer and they're first becoming a disciple, it's practicing spiritual disciplines. And that's the thing that, you know, you key in on first. The problem in lies with us people who are not new believers. We've been around the block a while, especially church leaders. Many times are the delta between our knowledge and our application is immense. And that's something that, you know, that I'm just as guilty of, as anybody else. It's coming back to say, hey, you know what? You never really graduate from the spiritual disciplines. You don't. You have to continue to do them. They degrade over time. Entropy.
Well, my kids are in. We're playing baseball for the first time in a very upward like league in Murfreesboro, and
so nobody keeps track of score.
I keep track of score.
That's right. That's true. Nobody. All the dads keep track of score, and the league does not keep a one loss record or score.
Yeah. So both Addie and JB, Addie's playing coach pitch, and JB's doing T-ball, and you know they really emphasize. They do a great job of emphasizing the basics, and you know without the fundamentals. You don't have anything to build off of. I mean, you know, if I go back to high school days and playing sports, Todd, I know that you don't have this experience, but
what
if I go back to playing
baseball?
But
you can imagine.
No, I did.
if I go back to baseball in high school, freshman and sophomore years, I mean,
I will take both of you to a batting cage right now. Bring it. I'm an old man,
and so.
Comparatively speaking,
so much of what we did in spring practice,
just in any form,
so much of what we did in spring practice was hit off a tee, right? And those are the exact same things that that
a 5 year old's doing. Yeah.
That JB and Addie are doing right now. And so having nothing to build off of is obviously detrimental to your progress and maturity. But it's always something that you fall back to. It's a discipline for a reason.
And I think the reason I asked about old fashioned is because I think. We live in a time when newer is better. We are always looking for a new and better way to do things. But there are some things that there simply is not a newer and better way to do. The way that they have been done, the way that they were laid out 2,000 years ago in Scripture has not changed. And so they are old, but they're not old fashioned.
Right.
I mean, it's no different than anything character related. Honesty is old-fashioned, but it's as valuable now as it ever has been, and there's not different versions of it. You know, integrity, those kinds of things.
You're not going to build a house without a solid foundation.
Right. So I bring that up because innovation is a value. It's valuable, but you can't really innovate spiritual disciplines. There's only there's only so many ways to talk to God and to have God talk to you and to faithfully obey.
Now, how you engage those can be different.
I mean, and how you, maybe even how you express them to some degree. But even that, like, you start to get to a place where you lose the heart of the thing when you stop talking about praying and you start talking about, I don't know, communing with God and things like that. You end up, you kind of move away from the things that the Bible says. And so some things there's just, there's a narrow bullseye and you just hit it every time. And there's not multiple targets here. Right. So I just feel like that setting those up as fundamental moves us on to our next set of questions. And that is moving more into the leadership space and the application here. How essential are spiritual disciplines in leadership?
Very essential, because you can't lead people in a direction you're not going yourself.
Quick question. Can something be more essential than something else, or is essential like either a yes or no thing? They either are essential or they're not.
You said how essential.
I know. I'm wondering if that was the right way to ask the question. Are they essential for leadership? There we go. Okay. Now the follow-up question is why?
Because you can't lead people in a direction you're not going yourself, and you can't, you have no ballast, you have no keel. Leadership is extremely difficult, and leading in the church is just wait for it. The storm will happen. And so if you don't have a strong keel to right the ship when the wind blows and the waves come and knock you over, you're in trouble. The other piece is, don't kid yourself. You're either growing closer to God or further away from God. There's no middle ground, or there's no place where you've arrived and, you know, you're staying in that spot. It's one or the other. And so it's vitally important to keep growing. Otherwise, you may find yourself in a place you never dreamed you'd be.
Yeah.
I went to seminary with guys that are no longer in ministry because they didn't keep up. They didn't keep up with their spiritual disciplines, and they let sin creep in.
Yeah.
It's waiting at the door for you. And if you're a leader, there's probably two waiting at the door for you.
Well, and sanctification is, I mean, you're talking about sanctification. It's an ongoing process. And reality of it is we are not anywhere close to being God. There's that separation, and that God is infinitely holy and man is sinful and imperfect. And we are created beings. I mean, I think what a lot of people don't realize, and something that I for sure don't always remember, is that sanctification is something that will happen even beyond this life. And I mean, there will be those aspects of maybe not so much evangelism in heaven, but I mean the act of worshiping God and learning and knowing,
well,
growing close and serving. I mean, they're
using your gifts and service to Christ doesn't just happen here.
Right.
Isn't just part of your spiritual maturity here.
Right.
We'll be working. We're made to work.
Right. So, I mean, it's beyond here. I mean, this is just the pregame for what will happen later on.
Yeah. I think right in line with what you guys are saying, I think everybody from any organization, at least any Christian person at any organization, would say the leader has to have integrity and character, be a wise person, be discerning, have vision, have a sense of calling to what they're doing, have clarity of direction, lead with selflessness and servanthood. All of those things will wither up and die if there's not a plugged-in power source to the one who gives us the ability to have them. And those are the spiritual disciplines. When you are, you know, being in community, being in the word, being in prayer, getting alone with God to listen, that's the silence and solitude that is not an easy thing to do. Being generous, telling others about the things you believe, all of those things are the things that feed the capacity for being a person of integrity when it's really difficult, or having a clear vision when the way is really foggy. I mean, that comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes through spiritual disciplines. It's not, you know, it's not a magical thing that just happens. It is a daily connection thing. And so I think to answer the question, yes, it is absolutely vital, and it's vital because all of the aspects that make up a great leader, I mean, you can be clever and smart without any spiritual disciplines, but that will only get you so far. Absolutely. And it very likely will lead you to places you don't want to go, like you said, Todd.
Well, and, you know, it's called spiritual disciplines for a reason.
Yeah.
Because every day you don't feel like reading your Bible. Some days you can't put it down, and you know you'll spend way more time than you thought. And some days you're like, I have to make myself.
That's right. I can gulp down a verse or three if I'm lucky.
So it's like, okay, or I'm going to spend this much time.
Yeah.
And it's, you've assigned it a time. You shouldn't assign the Bible your time. Well, if it's a daily discipline, you at least need to do that amount of time. It's a discipline for a reason. And, you know, for me, it's some of the ones that are a little more obscure that or seem obscure to me that I struggle with. Yeah.
Well, I think what you just said, Todd, actually leads us into our next question, and that is for someone struggling with these disciplines and habits, what are helpful starting points? I mean, so you were just talking about sort of that struggle and the fact that they are disciplines. So what are some helpful, it can be a mindset thing, it can be a habit thing, it can be a schedule thing. Like what are the starting places that people need to have to make progress?
It's a habit thing and a schedule thing that if you just leave it up to the, you know, if you allow, if it's not a priority in your day, it will fall off. It'll fall off your to-do list.
What?
And so I would say, you know, having specific times to do that. Like I have a go time, and then if it doesn't happen that time, it happens at this time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, creating habits for sure. I mean, habits and routine, and you don't have to be legalistic. I mean, I don't necessarily think it has to say, you have to say 7 a.m. I'm on the clock. And some people may need that. I look at my running schedule and me trying to start losing weight. I mean, a huge part of that is I get up and I run 3 days a week. It's here at Lifeway. Those 3 days that I run are associated with my morning routine and the habits that I form. So I get up in the morning, I grab my bag and I'm out and I'm running, and then through the course of my day, you've got to develop those pieces kind of as a habit, and it's become easier as you move forward with that. And so you know, even for me in my own quiet time, it's where in the mindset of that day does it seem natural for me to fit? Where am I going to fall back in that routine and say, you know, to Todd's point, either it's going to happen at this time, but you also got to be prepared that your morning is not going to go well, and it's going to happen some other portion of the day.
Yeah, you won't go to bed until it happens, right, kind of thing.
The other thing I was going to add to that is really accountability, like having someone that you're checking in with on a regular basis to make sure, especially if this is something
which is closely related to a spiritual discipline.
It really is. So, you know, it's having a relationship with someone who you've asked, hey, you know, this is something I'm struggling with. You know, just continually check in until I tell you to stop.
Yeah. Well, my kids have been as much of a accountability to that too. Just that lifestyle of, hey, we have that expectation as Addie's had made that first profession of faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, And just trying to model that for her, that's a huge accountability piece too.
I think a mindset is a helpful starting place, because I think both of you, I think, have mentioned the term legalism or the attitude of it, which is sort of the knee jerk reaction to the reality of spiritual disciplines for a lot of people, because it sounds inauthentic if I just carve out a time and I make myself do something. Like, that's not, but we do that in every other area of life that's meaningful to us. You know, if you want to be a good dad, you will carve out time with your kids. It does not matter how tired you are. If you want to be good at your job, which if you are a leader, you want to be good at your job, you learn, you read, you grow, you go to those meetings, you grind through the hard days, because not because you just love doing it, but because you believe that it's worth it. And in relationships, you do those things. And so it's the mindset of discipline creates a context where growth and life can happen. Discipline is not a legalistic thing. Now, if you feel like you're a better Christian or you're justified because of these things, well, now you've delved into legalism. If you think God loves me more because I'm faithful in the word, that's where you've gone off base. But if you say this is the context in which a relational connection can happen, There you go. That's what you're doing. That's why these are essential. And then that relational connection is the thing that feeds your work, your marriage, your family, your all the other interactions that you have. And so set aside fears of legalism and just think about it as investment. Like you are investing in the thing that matters and that has effect on every other area of life. I think, and I think that then helps create maybe a safe mental place to say, okay, what habits do I need to change? How early do I need to get up? What time of day do I need? What do I need to stop doing to make room for this? Those kinds of things.
Good deal. All right. Here's the fifth question.
Hit me.
It's not written down.
I know. I'm getting geared up here.
It's confession time.
Oh boy.
I'm going to have an altar call.
Are you crying, Todd?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. No. Okay. So what is like, what's the one you struggle with the most? And, you know, add any commentary you want to it. I can go ahead and do mine if you want.
For me, it is prayer in a time of prayer. I do not have a hard time praying. Like talking to God is not difficult, but it is much easier for me to sit down in the morning. And I try to do this pretty much every work day and spend time reading my Bible. And that I see great benefit to, and I get it. But to then take a portion of that same time, so say that's, you know, 30 or 40 minutes, to take a portion of that time or add on to it and just pray focused for anywhere from 5 minutes to 15 minutes is doggone near impossible for me. And I can pray as I'm reading. I can pray throughout the day. I can pray as I'm driving, and those are all good things. But I think one of the spiritual disciplines is, you know, you see it, Jesus went away on, you know, in a quiet place and prayed. And that is so hard for me to do. Just straight up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with Barnabas on that one. I mean, that's, and even for me, more than probably anybody wants to know is, you know, we had our third child this last fall, and he spent 90 days in the NICU. And, you know, it's my child, and I still have a hard time of just consciously sitting there and spending a significant amount of time praying for all the doctor's appointments and all those needs. Now, granted, there were moments throughout the day that I could get choked up, or I just, that's all I thought about for, you know, 30, 40 minutes. And, you know, at whatever point I would release to the Lord and just say, Lord, you've got to take this from me, and I can't think about it. And that's just where I'm at personally. If I meditate that long on something, I obsess over it, and I feel like it takes up all of my thoughts. And so, you know, praying specifically, sometimes I get to that point too where I feel like my prayer life is more of a wish list or a want list, and hey, just can you take care of this, and this? Kind of thing. And I know prayer is so much more than that. I'm trying to teach our kids when we have our own devotion, our family devotion time, it's that we walk through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And you know, they're at a point now where they're saying a lot of the same things, and we're trying to challenge them to think beyond that. But yeah, that element of praying consistently. And then the other one that you don't always think of as spiritual discipline, but it is. It's just being conscious of the world around me. I mean, here at Lifeway, we work in a bubble. I mean, vast majority are believers, I would hope or think, are believers here at Lifeway.
Pretty much everybody is a professing believer.
Professing believer here at Lifeway. And then, you know, I go home and they're my kids, and absolutely there are a couple of neighbors that we have tried to, you know, have dinner with and are actively trying to pursue. But just getting caught in the rhythm of daily life of, we're so focused and so blinded by everything else. There are definitely tons of people that I'm sure that we come in contact with, whether it's at a coffee shop or a grocery store, that are lost and don't know Christ, that don't know the love that we've experienced on a daily basis. And so, just those two things are probably the pieces that I battle with the most, and being conscious of those around me.
I'm good. I'm just kidding. So I already mentioned silence and solitude, but I mean, I'm literally at a point where I think I should almost be, I don't know, in counseling over my lack of ability to have silence and solitude. from the standpoint of, so we were on vacation last week, and my wife and kids stayed at her parents because I'm coming back here for work, and then I'm having another trip almost immediately. So they're like, "Oh, we're just gonna stay and come back." So, man, when I go home tonight, I will have an empty house. I cannot stand even going to sleep in silence. Like, I have to have something going on. Like, there's something playing in the background. There's something, whatever. I cannot stand silence. If I'm reading, I'm not reading the Bible with music or something in the background. But what I'm saying is, I have to be active,
yeah,
or my mind engaged in some way. It's really difficult because, and like what you said with prayer specifically, I think that bleeds into that lack of, the purpose of silence and solitude is to listen.
Yeah. Yep.
And is to really the word meditate was used earlier.
It's funny. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that goes with it. And it's so hard to do.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. If I boil it down to it, it's really less about silence and solitude, and it's more about meditation and focus, because I can focus actively praying, through something or for something, but it's listening and disengaging my mind from everything that's filling it up. All the things I need to do, or, concerns that I have or whatever, being disciplined not to let those things creep in, mm-hmm, or being disciplined to focus on that meditation and not, when the concern hits my mind, okay, now I'm praying to God about that concern instead of listening. So that's our confession time for today.
Feel free to hit us up on Twitter, respectively, and just use hashtag confession.
5LQ confession.
5LQ confession. And we will absolve you and send you on your way. Oh, no, that's wait. Right. No, we're Baptist. We don't do that.
We don't do that. No indulgences.
No. Well, any of that. As I often say when we sign off here, that I hope this was helpful, but this one I feel like I mean it extra this time because this matters more than just about anything we talk about.
Essential?
You mean it more essentially?
It's more essential. That's right. On a scale of less essential to more, this is more. So I really do hope that this is helpful, encouraging, because sometimes misery loves company. So hearing how other people struggle, or maybe we said something that sparks a change of heart or change of mind. I hope it encourages you. That's why we do this. We have a lot of fun doing it, but we hope it does actually help you as a leader. So we appreciate you as listeners. If you appreciate us, would you jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review also? That helps other leaders like yourselves find the podcast, because iTunes will share it to people who listen to like podcasts if you tell them to. So go tell them to via rating and review. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we wanted to remind you about the free e-booklet, Developing Your Leadership Pipeline, that will help your church get started training leaders more effectively. To download, go to lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab at the top. Again, that's lifeway.com/churchleaders and select the free e-booklet tab, where you can download the e-booklet for free.